At the time when I finished the bulletin, I did not have the sermon hymn or the sermon title picked out yet, but the title is No Darkness, Only Jesus' Life and Light. And it reflects on John 1, John 3, and John 20. To start, I read from John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Doug and Dave and Diane and Pat and Kirsten, Todd, Bryce, Tracy, Barrett, and Violet, God's peace and comfort be with you every day. I knew Denny in several different contexts, but mostly I knew him as a man who loved God's word and studying it. He attended as many Bible studies as he could, and he especially loved to study the writings of the Apostle John. And over the past year and a half, it just worked out that at our congregation and our various Bible studies, we studied all of Revelation. We studied the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we just started the Gospel of John. And Denny was there for almost every single one of those Bible studies. And so I shaped this sermon according to the opening verses of the Gospel of John, which Denny told me those were his favorite verses in the Bible. And he was very happy that we were studying the Gospel of John, that we had started that. He told me four weeks ago when we started, he says, Pastor, I'm going to get my own little journal Bible of John. He always used something else, but for this one, he was going to get his own. The passage that I just read at the beginning of the sermon from chapter 20 is John's clearly stated purpose for writing the gospel. And at the beginning, the very first lesson of John in our Bible study, we noted this purpose statement from John. Why should we read God's word? What is it good for? John says in John 20, verse 31, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Our comfort starts with the fact that Jesus, our Savior, is God. He can take care of us. As we go through life ups and downs, days, weeks, months, years, how do we get through? What is consistent and reliable as the world changes in many ways, sometimes good ways and oftentimes not so good ways? And the changes that we face in our own lives, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're really hard. And it's a struggle to get through. But knowing and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John calls him the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is Jesus Christ. And to know that we believe in him gives us strength and hope that we have somebody who can get us through the struggles, the ups and downs. And when John calls Jesus the Word, it's not only just like words that just sit there, but it's actions, God's actions. And one thing we considered very closely over and over again is that in Genesis, when the Word, when God said the Word, let there be light, there was light. What God says to happen will happen. This is Jesus. What he says is God's actions. And Denny, towards these last months, as he faced more health difficulties, he was comforted, and he told me, that Jesus is God. The Word is God. And he believed that and strongly trusted in Christ. And that is God's design, that we trust in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 3 of John 1 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The scriptures are clear that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all present at creation, and all were part of creation, the creation of the whole universe. And several times, Denny and I, we discussed scripture's teaching of creation and versus some evolutionary theories and so forth. And we discussed news articles. I remember giving him news articles about how there was the theory of evolution was changing, and there was new scientific evidence, and it kind of changed the way that theory went and so forth. And that changing theory shows us that there's chaos there. There's inconsistency there. What do we cling to? John's gospel clearly teaches us that we can cling to the Word, that we can cling to Jesus, who is the source of life, who is not random. God is in control, not chaos that somehow gets organized, but God is in control. And we emphasize at Zion that Jesus taught us to know that God is in control in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We emphasize the Lord's Prayer because Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is how you should pray. This is how you should look for everything you need and your guidance, your protection. Every time we sang the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, Denny said to me on the way out, I love singing the Lord's Prayer. We're singing it today, you'll notice. Now Jesus, as a Word, the Son of God, he points us to our Heavenly Father. Verse 4 and 5 of John 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Escaping darkness was important to Denny, as it is to all Christians. If a person is not a Christian, there is a search for meaning and truth in life, but there's also a search for security, safety. And you can see people look all over for those things. Where can I be safe? Where's a light and life? Where is there not darkness and not death? I need light and life. And John's gospel is crystal clear on this point. In the Word of God, the Son of God, we have life and light. And even if things look like darkness and death, even if it looks like there's chaos, and it might overtake us, it cannot succeed. For we have the Word, who is Word and life. And that is a fundamental belief for all Christians. Even if my body dies, death is not in charge. Jesus is in charge. He is life and light. And Denny spoke this to me many times. He said, Jesus is in charge, Pastor. It is important for us Christians to hear that the death of our bodies is only temporary. And in no way does death separate us from God, from Jesus, from the Father, from the Holy Spirit. To die in the Christian faith is to be with God. That word perish in many English translations, that indicates a separation, an alienation of God forever. That perish is a very bad word. Dying, the word dying, usually how it's translated, is not a bad word in that it does not end us. We're still with God in death. But a Christian does not perish. A Christian may die and be with God, but a Christian's life goes on forever. Jesus taught this. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That was Denny's confirmation verse. And that has happened. He has life, everlasting life with God. He has not perished, but he is with his God and all his saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the gifts you give to us. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.